It is Thursday, July 25th. Welcome on into Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt. Cherry.
Yes, Avi.
Big show today.
Big show.
Our first conversation with Mayor Sherelle Parker. We had a conversation with candidate Sherelle Parker, but this is our first conversation with Mayor Sherelle Parker. We've got our questions for her, but really, really, we want to hear from you. And we've already got questions pouring in. Most of the show today is going to be a conversation with the mayor. You can ask her a question. Email us, studio2@whyy.org, or give us a call, 888-477-9499. That's 888-477-WHYY.
Yeah, we're going to jump right into the news so we can get to the mayor. There's a bit of breaking news. Just an hour ago, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner announced charges against the 68-year-old man who fatally struck cyclist Dr. Barbara Freed's in Center City on July 17th. The DA's office, they're charging Michael Vahey with homicide by vehicle, driving under the influence, reckless endangerment, and other charges. He turned himself into police Wednesday night. He's currently in custody. And let me just lay out what prosecutors say happened. They say Vahey was driving at a speed of 57 miles per hour on Spruce Street when he struck Dr. Freed's, who was squarely in a bike lane. They say Vahey's car hit her so hard that she was thrown more than 20 feet in the air and likely died from that impact. The DA says that Vahey's blood alcohol level was well above the legal limit. And DA Krasner says their office has video and other technological evidence showing what happened. Here's DA Larry Krasner talking about the case at the press conference just an hour ago.
In addition to striking and killing, the doctor struck multiple other cars, came to rest. Vahey was in the driver's seat and was removed from the car after the accident. All of that taken together is a crime, and it's unacceptable, and the consequences horrible. And we intend to prosecute this case justly and vigorously, and to do what we can not only to make sure that there is accountability in this case, but do what we can to make sure that we do not have these accidents in the future to the extent we can.
And if you didn't know already, Dr. Freitas worked at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Her death sparked outrage in part because it happened in close proximity to several other biker or pedestrian deaths in the city of Philadelphia. And one thing, and I'm not the first to point this out, that makes this case such a lightning rod is the circumstances as laid out by the district attorney. This is a case where it seems very unlikely speed cameras would have made much of a difference. It seems very unlikely that some sort of law enforcement presence would have made much of a difference if indeed, as the DA says, this driver was well above the legal limit in terms of blood alcohol content. And many people, many advocates have been fighting for protected bike lanes because Dr. Freitas was riding with a helmet, it appears, in the bike lane. But because the bike lane just has these little plastic sort of flexible barriers, there's no protection if someone really wants to cross over that barrier. And so this really shines a spotlight on the issue in a way that not every case does. And it's why it's gotten, in part, so much attention, Cherry.
And by the way, this will be, you know, some of the questions that we ask Mayor Sherelle Parker later in this hour. We received a lot of questions
on this topic
about pedestrian and cyclist safety. And so we will pose those questions to the mayor.
Moving on now, a story that broke late yesterday that many sports fans are keen on. And I'll admit, I'm a little keen on it, too.
You were all over it.
I was all over it. Yeah, as soon as it broke, I sent the tweet to everybody in the team. The Wells Fargo Center, where the Sixers play for now, and the Philadelphia Flyers, and by the way, the Wings, the lacrosse team, it's not going to be called the Wells Fargo Center much longer. Wells Fargo has decided against renewing its naming rights, so that contract's going to expire next summer, August 2025. It's not going to be called the Wells Fargo Center anymore. If you don't know, by the way, companies pay to get their names on these arenas. They pay a lot of money. And Wells Fargo said, eh, not worth our money anymore, not worth our time. Yeah. So it's the Wells Fargo Center, no more.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction is this, Avi.
I know you got a big reaction.
Sometimes
here.
Relationships end, And the Sixers, they won't be using the center anymore. They want out. So Wells Fargo's moving on as well. And this is not remarkable, though, because according to the Inquirer, the Wells Fargo Center has been switched names a number of times since 1996. So
if you want to be an OG, or you want to show that you're an OG, call it the Core States. I think it was the Core States Arena, Core States Center. The original name was
that's existed a long time.
You're right. You mentioned that the Sixers are going to leave. I don't know how much that has to do with it, because maybe they're thinking this is less valuable. If the Sixers don't play there, it means it gets mentioned half as many times. But the Sixers are going to be there till 2031.
That is true. But there's also this reimagining going on.
Right.
So it's a good transition moment, you know, maybe.
I did a little brainstorming, by the way. And I some local companies that I thought could pick up the torch here from Wells Fargo Center.
Okay.
So just stay with
you
me.
Putting
okay?
people together?
Yeah,
go
yeah.
ahead.
And this is just off the top of my head, okay? Mm-hmm. And tell me if you like any of these. The Comcast Coliseum.
Ooh.
Okay.
Taking it back to Coliseum.
Comcast
I like that.
Already owns the Flyers, Comcast mm-hmm. Spectacor. Mm-hmm. They're right there. The Campbell Soup Bowl. You like that? A little play
on
words.
Well, you know, the fact that,
it's not really a bowl.
Yeah.
But it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
I like that.
And I like soup.
How about this?
It's delicious.
You like soup.
And I have soup for lunch.
How about this? Pico Place.
Oh, shout out to Pico.
Because you could say the energy is electric tonight in Pico Place.
Somebody needs to hire Avi for marketing. That's a
good right, One more. The Twisted Tea House.
Oh, because that Philly loves Twisted
Tea.
Yeah,
the Twisted Tea House. Things are crazy tonight at the Twisted Tea House
as the
Flyers try to close out the playoff series. Blah, blah, blah. It just rolls off the tongue.
You had so much fun doing this.
I got like 17 more of these. I'm not going to
bore
Wow,
and the paper,
people.
I can't read his handwriting on there, but there's a lot of scribbles over there. Yes.
Wawa Arena. Wawa Arena, too. I think that has a nice ring to it.
And Wawa could probably do it.
They
can
afford it.
Maybe, yeah.
They're all over the country now. Of course they can.
And then it would just sell like, you know, those buffalo chicken sandwiches.
That's right.
All up in the Wawa Arena.
Wawa Arena. I just think that it works. It just works. Speaking of things that are changing.
Yes.
Let's go up to Bucks County now.
So as of Monday, Avi, Bucks County has flipped red. Yeah. Apparently, Republicans have gained a more than 200 voter registration advantage over Democrats in the county. Now, it's close, but you know, they just tip the scale
ever so slightly.
But this is a significant shift after years of Democratic dominance in Bucks County. So who are the folks that have switched over to GOP? Well, the Republican organizers, they said it comes from Democrats switching their registration to Republican, people who moved to the area who had to update their voter registration to their new address. They're also just people who registered Republican, as well as young people, people who turned 18 and who hadn't previously registered to vote. And now they're signing up as members of the GOP. Now, I will say this.
Bucks County is a huge county.
It is a huge county. Yeah, it is a huge county. It's a very important county.
It's a purpley kind of county.
It's a key battleground in the upcoming elections. But experts say that just because somebody registered, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they will vote that way in a general election.
And if you want to know the statewide picture here, from about 2008 to 2014 in Pennsylvania, Democrats lost voter registration, but the GOP was going down as well. In fact, it was independent registration that was gaining from like 08 to 14-ish. But around 16, the Republicans started gaining. And of course, that is when Donald Trump first ran for president. We know that he's energized the base a lot. Mm-hmm. We know that he has a lot of name recognition. And you see in Pennsylvania starting around 2016, this is statewide, not just Bucks County specific, that GOP number start to tick up as the Democrat number continues to go down. However, Democrats have always had a registration advantage in Pennsylvania for a long, long time. Yeah. And it's still been a swing state. And that goes to your point. Registration's not everything.
And I will say the GOP has, because of Donald Trump, done a good job of, you know, attracting voters that didn't always vote. So you have some new people coming into the fold as well, and they're working on registering them. Republican.
Look, at the end of the day,
this
is what the election comes down to for Democrats, running up the margins in the Philadelphia suburbs, places like Bucks County, Delaware County, Chester County, Montgomery County. You know, tell that to someone 50 years ago, they would have been shocked. But that is the game now for Democrats. They cannot afford slippage in a place like Bucks County. They simply cannot.
We're going to see people hard at work because, you know, the GOTV is going to be real in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, boots on the streets for sure.
So,
yeah, let's get to the big story.
We got a big story today. We got a big show today. After this very short break, we will have Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker in studio with us to talk about your, to take your questions, to hear your comments. You can call us. The number is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org. We're going to get to as many as we can. And thanks to everybody who's already sent their questions in. And we here at Studio 2, we will be right back.
And welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Avi Wolf-Manerich.
And I'm Cherry Gregg. Sherelle Parker made history this January when she became the first woman sworn in as mayor of Philadelphia. In her inauguration speech, she promised to hire more police, clean up city streets, and expand school hours.
She also promised to lift the city's spirits, or as she put it in that speech, "Don't throw shade on my Philly shine." Today, we shine the spotlight on you, our listeners, because we've got Mayor Sherelle Parker with us in studio, and this is your chance to ask her questions or raise concerns. Mayor Sherelle Parker, welcome back to Studio 2.
Avi and Cherry, thank you so very much for having me.
We're delighted to have you. And again, send us your questions via email at studio2@whyy.org. You can also call 888-477-9499. Again, 888-477-WHYY. So we're excited to have you here, Mayor. The last time you were sitting in that seat, you were a candidate.
Sherelle Parker, I was a candidate?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And now you're Mayor Sherelle Parker. So we're excited to have you here. So I want to start our conversation by just giving you a minute or two to just talk about what you feel proudest of as far as your accomplishments in your first 6 months.
Well, first, Avi and Cherry, thank you so very much for having me back. I'm most proud of remembering the commitment that I made to the people of the city of Philadelphia when I was asking them to give me the privilege of being able to serve as their CEO of the city of Philadelphia. I committed to making Philadelphia, and people finish this sentence with me now, the safest, cleanest, greenest big city in the nation with access to economic opportunity for all, a government that people could see, touch, and feel. And what I'm most proud of is that I haven't forgotten about that commitment, that I've been able to bring the best and the brightest on board to help me make good on that commitment. And in each of those specific areas, we have a plethora of work that is being implemented right now. Not a speech, not even an interview that people can hear, right? But tangible work that people can see, touch, and feel to know that we're trying to make good on those commitments. So Avi and Cherry, that's what I'm most excited about, fulfilling that promise. We passed our first One Philly budget, $6.37 billion, and we did it without raising taxes. No new taxes, Philadelphia, and I'm super excited about that.
So it's safest, cleanest, and greenest, mm-hmm. and we all can finish that sentence now. But let's start with safety, because earlier today we did hear about charges in the death of Dr. Barbara Freitas, and I want to read this email now from Mindy in Germantown, who says, "Our 17-year-old son was struck and killed while riding his bike on Father's Day 2020 on High Injury Fatality Henry Avenue. Please let us know when the mayor will submit supplemental appropriations legislation to City Council to fully fund Vision Zero back again to $2.5 million. I believe the current appropriation is $1 million. It had been $2.5 million. Mindy also says, please let us know when the administration will install real protected bike lanes on Spruce, Pine, Allegheny, and other streets. So take that in two parts. Vision Zero funding. Do you pledge to restore it? Do you plan to restore it?
Let me say this first. The framing of Mindy's question. That's where we agree to disagree. I don't consider the Vision Zero spending that was included in that One Philly budget in for fiscal year 25. I don't consider it to be a budget cut. And let me tell you why. Under traffic control, that's a section of the budget that was passed. The speed cushion and traffic calming program has been moved from Vision Zero into a separate line item. Mm-hmm. So I'm just, I know it's wonky and these are details, but it's a fact. To me, that's very important for Philadelphians to know. Because that speed cushion and traffic calming program was moved out of Vision Zero and into a separate item.
Why was that decision made then?
Because I made a lot of administrative decisions that were different from the previous administration. Let me give you a quick snapshot. We split licenses and inspections into two separate departments. We split what was referenced as the streets department here in the city of Philadelphia. Now, you know, we have streets, but we also have an office of sanitation. And so when we look at the portfolio now, there are just different line items. So, Mindy, one, I want you to know my thoughts, my prayers, and my commitment to ensuring that Philadelphia makes good on its commitment to ensure that Vision Zero continues to be a priority for us. I've affirmed that publicly. Our budget affirms that. Now, for anybody who wants to pull back the layers to say, no, you're not, because just look at the appropriations. I've just told you where those dollars
have
gone.
The same amount of dollars are committed last year and this year?
Yes, and let me just be very more specific. There is $1 million allocated to Vision Zero and $1.25 million for the speed cushion and traffic calming program measures, and they are a major part of the overall Vision Zero projects. There's also significant funding for specific projects that are included in what we refer to as BIL. This is the bipartisan infrastructure law, which and these are grants which will fall at least partially under Vision Zero. So not only is our administration strongly supportive of Vision Zero and consider it an important contribution to the city aimed at pedestrian and cyclist safety. Let's talk about something you didn't mention, the complete streets project work. We have reduced fatal and serious injury crashes by 34%. And Avi and Sherry, here's Sherelle Parker's soapbox. I am no Johnny come lately to advocating for pedestrian and cyclist safety here in the city of Philadelphia. Long before I was mayor, I was on the front line in Harrisburg as a member of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, advocating for the enabling authority for that red light camera program. I worked with Republicans, suburban and rural Pennsylvania to get that legislation enacted. And then I am the author of the red light camera legislation passed in city council, again, long before I was the mayor of this city. So I'm not just here because they're, you know, the crisis. And some before coming in, somebody just told me that District Attorney Krasner recently made an announcement St. Chris. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I didn't see it. I wasn't there. Somebody just sent me a message saying, hey, you know, District Attorney is making an important announcement.
Can I ask you just real quick, though, because we want to move on to other topics.
Sure.
Protected bike lanes. Because this was a case, the one that you're referencing there, where the cyclist was in a bike lane, but the driver crossed over into it because there was not any sort of concrete bollard or barrier. Can you commit to trying to build some of those in Philadelphia protected bike lanes?
As we stated in our commitment to fulfilling the overall goals and objectives of Vision Zero, we are there. We have our bill projects and our complete streets projects, and protected bike lanes are a part of that. So it's just not one aspect, right, that I want to just take out and say this is the one thing. There are are multiple traffic calming measures that are needed in neighborhoods across the city of Philadelphia, nor will I specifically highlight any one specific area. But I'm talking about in every zip code in the city of Philadelphia, there's a great demand for traffic calming measures, and we're going to do everything that we can to ensure that they're enacted. And yes, protected bike lanes are a part of them, but I support a very comprehensive approach. And this budget, that's important to me as well, of Philadelphia, not just through words, but the budget. The $6.37 billion, it reflects the city's commitment. You just have to look at two different line items in order to see those numbers.
So for all the folks who are asking about the protected bike lanes, you are committed to that. You are committed to keeping Vision Zero and strengthening it.
Yes, and Avi and Cherry, let me be even more direct. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, if anybody publicly affirms anything other than that, it is not factual and it is not truthful. I can't control what people say in the narrative. I don't have enough ink and I don't control any airwaves. The only thing I can tell you is what our budget reflects.
Yeah, I want to bring in a caller because
sure.
We have quite a few people on the phone. We have Alexis from West Philadelphia.
Alexis.
Who wants to talk about a parking lot issue. Alexis, you're on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for our mayor?
Hello. I don't know, Mayor Parker, but I was...
Alexis, we're having some trouble hearing you. If you're on speaker, would you mind picking up the phone directly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's I voted for you at this time around. But what I'm upset about is they keep eating up land in Fairmount Park. And I understand they want to put more parking lots around the Mann Center. Can these parking lots be put underground and leave the top part for the people to continue to use?
Thank you so much, Alexis, for that question.
And so her question is, you know, she says that, you know, parking lots are ruining some of the green space in Fairmount Park. Your comment on that?
So, Alexis, I would very specifically, if there is an opportunity, and Cherry, if my team is here, hopefully they'll put up a big sign so I can tell people the number that they can call me on. But I want to know specifically what she's referencing. She said the mansion.
The Mann Center.
Okay, I thought she said the mansion. No. I wasn't sure if she was talking about Belmont Mansion because I hadn't heard anything there. The Mann Center. Mm-hmm. That's better. I have the context that I need. I am not familiar about any specific plans, but I will definitely check on that and would love to be able to send you all back a formal response. I hear you, Alexis, and I'm going to get an answer. I don't have one about the parking lots that you referenced specifically. I think you said targeted around the Mann Center.
And Alexis, you can email us studio2@whyy.org and we will pass along your information. And so, Mayor, we want to switch gears and talk about public. We want to continue the conversation about public safety, but switch gears and talk about some of the crime issues in the city. I know your very first priority has been public safety. You appointed Commissioner Kevin Bethel. There has been a decrease in the number of homicides in the city. I think we're down like 37%. Also a decrease in violent crime. So we want to acknowledge that as well. What do you think is making this impact? What do you think has been the difference maker in seeing those numbers down? And I want to say that also there was that, you know, mass shooting very recently. And there is this perception that people don't always feel as safe, even though those numbers are going down.
Thank you, Cherry, for the framing. So the first and foremost, I want to affirm your stats. 37% reduction in homicides compared to 1 year ago, and shootings are down 33% compared to 1 year ago. And this is a recent report for the Center of American Progress that shows that violent crime is down in big cities across the nation with the steepest rate of decline here in the city of Philadelphia. But the last part of your question is what you've just heard me affirm when I was at a press conference on Monday in Carroll Park. Those numbers mean absolutely nothing. to the people who live in the neighborhood where Philadelphia Police Department just acquired evidence to charge one of the shooting victims, a 28-year-old male, with 3 counts of murder, 5 counts of attempted murder, and related offenses concerning the mass shooting that occurred in West Philadelphia. So no matter what the stats say, my goal, if you will remember, and that part I do remember sharing with you, that I know I would catch a whole lot of hell for my commitment to use every tool in the toolbox and not being afraid to make tough decisions needed to bring some order back to our city and making the public safety and health of Philadelphians my number one priority. So we won't rest. Am I encouraged by the stats? Yes, I am encouraged by the stats, but it doesn't matter. If you live in a neighborhood, if you live here, work here, play here, and you don't feel safe here, you know, I'm an English teacher. So, quote, Maya Angelou, in life, people will forget what you said. They will forget what you did, but they will never, ever forget how you make them feel. As mayor, I won't think that we have accomplished our goal if people don't feel safe in our city. And what does that mean? That means catching a whole lot of steam for making a commitment to shut down the open air drug market in Kensington and in neighborhoods across the city. It means while a whole lot of people, when it wasn't a popular thing to do, when folks were clamoring for us to defund the police, my standing up and saying no, Philadelphians deserve community policing.
Can I ask you about that briefly?
Yes.
You vowed, I believe, to hire an additional 400 police officers.
300 was the number, yeah.
What is the status of that right now?
It's coming along extremely well. Every 6 months, you'll be getting to see us churn through like another class coming in. The demand, we had a cabinet meeting yesterday, Philadelphia's, when the commissioners of all and leaders of all of the departments come in and we have our meeting. Commissioner Bethel said Philadelphia proper applications for employment with the Philadelphia Police Department have gone through the roof.
Why is that?
Have gone through the roof. Retirees, you will know we have a plan in city called DROP. And they were talking about the record numbers of retirements of in the Philadelphia Police Department. Now we've had, and I don't have those actual numbers with me now. He just gave them to us yesterday. But there are record numbers of people who are saying, we're going to take advantage of the opportunity to stay with you, to help you for a year. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
Because I haven't been able, well, I haven't been afraid to publicly affirm, even though it hasn't been popular, to say I support community policing. Listen, with zero tolerance for any misuse or abuse of authority by the police, but Philadelphians deserve to have a proactive law enforcement presence in their neighborhood as part of the fabric of the community. And you shouldn't just be there in response to a crime or crisis when I call 911. You should be there trying to get to know the people you're sworn to protect and serve. I'm proud. That's what's happening. A lot of people not happy with me about it, but I'm going to keep on pressing for community policing. It's the game changer.
Can I bring in another call now? This is Julian from the Northeast, wants to talk about hiring for city workers. We were just talking about hiring for police. Julian, you are on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for Mayor Parker?
Yes. Hello, Mayor Parker. My name is Julian. Basically, my question is about the city hiring process. Maybe a little self-serving on my end because I was just passed over for a position in your new resident services initiative. But I'm just sort of wondering, what are your plans to improve the hiring process, make it faster, maybe more transparent?
Julian, don't kill me. Don't kill me, Julian. Go back over specifically because I'm a teacher. I'm taking notes. You said you were passed over for the new and then I didn't get the rest.
The Resident Services Delivery Initiative. I applied for a position.
Resident Service Delivery Initiative. Okay. So I'm not familiar with this specifically, but again, Avi and Cherry, this is something that I commit to going to check on when I get back to the office. We are, and this is a challenge, Julian, that I learned when I got here. There are many people who apply for employment with the city of Philadelphia. But if you were to see some of the antiquated and outdated, I'm going to be disciplined here, strategies we employed or systems or processes on how we, from the time you press send and apply, how long it took us to get back to you. I mean, the length of time in some instances, and I want to thank Mike Zaccagni and Camille Duchesse, our CAO in the city of Philadelphia, because they are working on transformational change with this process now. But it took so long that by the time we would get back to you, in some instances, you were already hired or working at another firm or doing business somewhere else. We're working on streamlining those processes. I also want opportunities to move up the food chain for entry-level municipal workers. Municipal employment is extremely important to me. It's been a path to the working and middle class here in the city of Philadelphia. That's been since I was a young girl. It was a sense of pride and dignity. If you were a municipal worker in the working class neighborhood that I grew up in on Penfield Street, West Oak Lane in Northwest Philadelphia, I'm going to check on that. And I want to tell you, we're going to be as creative as we possibly can in trying to give people access to opportunities to apply. Julian, people didn't understand why I wanted to do this, and nobody talked about this when I was working on my budget, but we are working on standing up the first ever City College for Municipal Employment. Everyone talks about the need for workforce development and training. It's mind, and the number of vacancies here in the city, it's mind-boggling to me that we never set up a system to hire people. Yeah. So we're train and hire. So we're doing that now, Julian.
And thank you so much, Julian, for your question and your comment today on Studio 2.
Can I just, I believe, according to the Office for Human Resources, the city's Office for Human Resources, 23% of city positions are vacant, around that amount. We have a lot of people asking about this return to office mandate 5 days a week, saying, look, that's going to simply make those numbers worse. Philadelphia is not going to be a competitive hirer if it forces people to come back to the office when other employers are simply allowing people to have more flexibility with hybrid. Clay from West Philly has that comment. Carrie also emails
with a
similar comment. Mm-hmm. Don't you worry that this will make Philadelphia not a competitive hirer?
Absolutely not. It is true that I agree to disagree with those who share that sentiment. But I promised a city government that our residents can see, touch, and feel, and really wholeheartedly feel as the CEO of this city that this change is essential for our city to grow and to thrive and for our city to be better than ever. We're doing everything that we can to ensure that this is a well-run transition and that employees feel supported as they return to office. Now, just a few things I need to get on the record. Shout out to Managing Director Adam Teal and again, Camille Duchesse, our Chief Administrative Officer, because this is day 9, City of Philadelphia. Today is the 9th day back, and I'm asking people for a bit of time, patience, and grace. Someone said on the first day back that there was some report, and I don't remember which outlet it was, that I don't know, a desk needed to be wiped off. I don't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. If you find a workspace that needs fixing, tell us about it and let us fix it. We're processing reports from department leaders going through our CAO and our Department of Public Property, and they're doing their best to ensure that the transition is clean, orderly, and welcoming.
But quick question. Do you think the city could have done something different to prepare for these folks coming back?
We're going to break in about 45 seconds.
Okay. Just want to say that, one, the just-in-time emergency care for child and elder care, the increased paid parental leave, the relaxation of restrictions on using sick time for family members, and designation, well, we talked about that, a Friday after Thanksgiving as a holiday, those things were done well in advance. There was a great deal of planning and a very thoughtful and intentional implementation to this process. Will it be perfect? I don't claim perfection. Maybe someone else is, but anything that is managed and run by human beings, it will not be perfect.
And you're not worried about this hurting the city's ability to hire. We're going to break in right about now, but yes or no? You're not worried about
absolutely that? Absolutely not, Avi. Really? I have a different perspective.
So do you think it'll make us more competitive hiring?
No, this is an opportunity for, this is a great chance for opportunity. Out of crisis comes opportunity, and I think this is one.
Okay, well, we'll have more with Mayor Sherelle Parker on Studio 2. Stick with us. Much more to come, and keep those questions coming. We see them.
Welcome back to Studio 2. I'm Cherry Gregg.
And I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron. We are back now with Mayor Sherelle Parker recapping her first 200-plus days in office and fielding your questions. Again, that number is 888-477-9499. The email is studio2@whyy.org.
And Mayor, you said you wanted to kind of close out that conversation about return to work, but I want to wedge a question in here. What would it take if you saw like things were not working as you thought? To change course, and then you can finish that.
Yes. The strength of our municipal workforce, the health of our city, is dependent on our workforce being back to work and together in a collaborative way and in person. We are going to do the very best that we can to use every tool in the toolbox to make sure that the resources, support, and the workspaces that municipal workers need, that we have that in place. And that is what I wanted to affirm on the record. And what we don't talk about, what's not asked, it's not the negative feedback. I don't get questions about, Mayor, what kind of affirmative, positive feedback have you gotten relative to return to the office? And it has been amazing. Okay. People have said, wow, to see so many more people walking in town, going into the Reading Terminal Market during the not lunchtime, but morning breakfast time, that it feels the energy walking in town. So that matters a great deal too. And the businesses, the impact that it has on businesses. Special thanks to all of the members of the Philadelphia Municipal Workforce who never had a chance to work remotely. I thank each of you for what you've done, and we're going to try to do our best to move our city forward.
And Mayor, I want to circle back because we didn't finish our public safety conversation, and I wanted to ask about the clean out of encampments in Kensington. And I say this, there's multiple people who have emailed about this. You know, I live in Fishtown. Okay. And some of the people who were cleaned out from encampments, folks said they've seen folks moving up to Northeast Philly and other parts of the city. It's like a game of whack-a-mole. What is your strategy for dealing with the homelessness that has now left Kensington and it spread to other parts of the city?
Let me say to you, Cherry and Avi, and I'm unapologetic about this, I'm at war with the status quo. What we have seen take place in Kensington, and it's not just in Kensington, it's in neighborhoods across this city. It did not just start within the last 6-7 months that I've been elected mayor in this city. I'm trying to do what has not been done in this city, and that is build a comprehensive, holistic ecosystem that will allow us to deal with long-term care, treatment, and housing for our most vulnerable. Who are they? People suffering from substance use disorder and addiction, people who are suffering from mental and behavioral health challenges, and people who are unhoused and homeless. $100 million to build out a wellness center. Thank you so very much, Council President Johnson and members of City
this
Council.
This is the one in Northeast Philadelphia, yeah. Correct?
Yeah. Right, right. But the holistic approach is there. We have, and to all of the providers who are listening, thank you so very much for the work that you do. We're going to continue on improving. Have I heard what you just affirmed? Well, it feels like. Yes, some people have said that, but I also have seen people, and I won't go into what regions. Someone reported to me, we saw some needles in another area. I won't tell you where this area was, but you know, we've seen some people openly using drugs since your activity in Kensington. We had some staffers who lived in that area. I want to be as diplomatic as I can here. Some of the activity was there long before we began. doing the work that we're doing in Kensington.
So you're suggesting it's perception, not reality?
Mm-hmm. Or in some instances, but
sometimes... So now that it's changed, people seeing it more, are you saying that? And it was always there?
Yes. That what they're using, the decisive action that the Parker administration has implemented in saying there will be some rules. We will enforce the law in the Kensington area. And here, the long-term owner occupants who have had to live with this environment as if it's normal. But they've made a causal relationship between our action and the activity that may have happened or been happening in some other neighborhoods, but they've tried to prove causation without proving that there's a statistically significant difference, mm-hmm. right? And again, stats wouldn't matter if people don't, they know what they see. They know what they see and they know what they mm-hmm. are experiencing. So I'm not fighting
you
it.
Went from no encampments to now encampments.
Right. So exactly. And so are there going to be some challenges? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And listen, WHYY, I am unapologetic about affirming that it is not being done with perfection, because perfection doesn't exist. I remember when we removed the encampment, literally had someone who said, we had some folks who were ready to go, ready to move, sanitation, streets department, all the agencies were there during the cleaning. Guess what? They started earlier than they announced. I don't know if you understood what I just said. Yeah. They had made a public pronouncement that they wouldn't start this activity. I don't remember what it was, but let's say it was 8 a.m. They started at 7:30. There were people there ready to say, see, you said you were going mm-hmm. to do this and you did it like that. And I want to acknowledge this, and we're going to constantly work to improve it. But what you won't do is allow the hard work of the men and women who are on the front lines and at war with that status quo and that community, saying that open air drug market and everything associated with it that has allowed to become the standard operating procedure there will prevail. It will not. Thank you, Commissioner Bethel. Thank you, Adam Gear, our public safety director, and Renee Garcia, our city solicitor.
I want to make sure we get in at least one more call. This is Nanika, a Philadelphia teacher, who has a question about all-year school, something that you have promoted, the idea that schools could remain open all year, the academic calendar could even be expanded. Nanika, you are on Studio 2. What's your question or comment for the mayor?
Yes, I am a teacher in the Philadelphia school district. I teach at a local charter school. And I was just wondering, are you really planning to do that? Like, have the children possibly go to school throughout the year? And I wanted to just say, like, if you are thinking about that, if you could just take into consideration the stress and pressure that teachers are under, and like how we all, not just the teachers, but the kids, the students are also under a lot of stress and pressure by that time of year. It's hot, you know, and they need to be... They have summer camps and things that they go to and stuff like that. So I was just wondering, how true is that? Like, are you really planning to do that?
Is it Anika or Nanika? What was it?
Nanika.
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 Nanika. Nanika, thank you so much for your question. And I really love the context of it all. And first, I'm proud to make good on a commitment. Because listen, it's not often that you see someone running for public office, making a direct correlation to what they said on the campaign trail and having very specific ways in which they can show that they're making good on the words. So one, I am proud that with the budget we passed, Nanika, we have 25 schools in a pilot program that we refer to as, and I want you all to help me with this language, not year round. We don't say year round. What it's referenced as is extended day, extended year. Extended day, extended year.
What's the distinction there? Yeah.
The distinction is that within these 25 pilots, they have agreed to work in partnership with different providers. Mm. So that's first. And Nanika, why is this important? I'm a certified secondary English teacher, and if there's anybody who understands the challenges that our teachers and educators today feel in that classroom, particularly because you're dealing with so many things that are not necessarily essential to instruction. So teachers are the be all end all in that classroom. But this partnership that we're talking about is having academic enrichment programs that, quite frankly, are offered to many young people who are products of environments where their families have the ability to pay for these supports and services. What are you talking about, Sherelle Parker? I'm talking about robotics. I'm talking about chess. I'm talking about financial literacy. Yes, some sports. I'm talking about additional tutoring. You know, your mayor was never good at science. Biology and chemistry was never my thing. So in order to get through the class, I needed additional supports. Well, there are some parents who make sure additional layers of tutoring is available. Why can't we make that available for our young people without burdening our teachers who are in the classroom all day long doing the best they can with what little they have?
How do you extend day and year, though, without, adding some burden to teachers, especially when you're talking about a lot of schools that don't have proper air conditioning or ventilation?
So one of the first qualifiers for whether or not you could be a part of the pilot program, because for those of you who are familiar with the cleaning program, PHL Taking Care of Business or Power Up Your Business, any program I've ever supported, I've always had proof of concept. And you have proof of concept when you have a pilot. So all of the schools in a pilot have air, one. Two, the partnerships with entities that are not our standardized teachers who are in the classroom on a daily basis.
Nonprofit organizations.
Nonprofits that are in the neighborhood. So think about PAL. Think about other organizations that are providing valuable services. And I want to go back to this. And I guess I'm ultra sensitive about this, because if my grandparents who raised me had to pay for me to get access to coding and robotics and all of the academic enrichment, the building trades training, for example, if they would have had to pay for that shop and wood shop, carpentry, I wouldn't have had access to it. Well, I want those kind of enrichment programs out of school time expanded, because it shouldn't matter what your socioeconomic status or zip code is about whether or not you get access to these programs. So with these 25 pilots, Naneka, I hope you're proud of this. It's 20 traditional publics and 5 charters, because you have a mayor now who, for the first time in the history of our city, I've said to people, don't try to divide and conquer, talking about pitting traditional publics against charters. These are all our children, and we're going to do the best we can with what we have to bring support and services to them.
Yeah, and Mayor, we only have a few more minutes in the show, but I wanted to address the cleaning issue. Frank emails, I want to thank you for addressing the trash issue. In West Passyunk, I've seen seen Clip out doing great work and cleaning long forgotten alleyways and other vacant lots. However, I see one of the biggest contributors to litter is the negligent way residents put their trash out before Election Day. So I just want to, if you could take it in a minute so we can get a couple more questions in, just sort of like your way of tracking the cleaning effort. I've seen folks out doing street cleaning.
Yeah, how do we measure success?
How do we measure success here? Yeah.
So Carlton Williams, our director of Clean and Green, and all Tom Coway, all of our partners, our One Philly, a United City Cleaning and Greening program, we have cleaned over 9,500 blocks in 6 weeks. By breaking down silos, putting everyone who has a nickel and a quarter of cleaning the community at a table together with government and nonprofit entities, quasi-government agencies, to do just that. We announced this residential cleaning program on June the 3rd. And again, as of July the 25th, let me be specific because they gave it to me, 9,509 blocks. I'm proud of that, but I also, and thank you for one, acknowledging that we've done something. that's coming along well. Ivy and Cherry, thank you for, you know.
What happens after this initial cleaning round, though? I mean, what's the next step?
Our citywide residential cleaning program is broken up into districts. So there will now be a specific crew consisting of every department imaginable working in every council district. So let's just say if Council Member Curtis mm-hmm. Jones, Council President Johnson calls, and, you know, we have the specific issue in the 4th district, and we need this addressed. It's not the whole government bureaucracy, but it's a group that's specifically mm-hmm. responsive to the needs in the 4th council district. And I'm biased because I'm a former council person. that kind of resource is important.
Real quick, the Sixers proposal to build an arena 76 place in the Market East location. Can you tell us, yes or no, do you support that proposal?
Let me say to you that, and this is important to get on the record, Philadelphia, I am unapologetic about the value of our sports teams, and that when we're talking about the Eagles, the Phillies, the Flyers, and the Sixers, that they are a part of who we are. It's what makes everything that represents Philly, Philly, and we're going to do everything that we possibly can to ensure that they stay in Philly proper. I have not affirmed whether or not I'm for or against, but this is what I can say to you, Philadelphia. I am unapologetic about making sure that any project that I would support, I'm going to measure the return on investment for our entire city. And when I stand up to tell you, Ivy and Cherry, about where I am, you will know that your mayor has done her homework.
What more do you need to say?
Well, there are a litany of areas. I would call it a rubric, no different than, you know, putting together our budget. What about this area? I mean, multiple areas of importance. And that is what my team internally, Philly proper, team of senior level officials, along with some external mm-hmm. research and data. My decision making will be data driven and research based, and the return on investment, economically speaking, right. for the entire city of Philadelphia will be a part of that calculus.
Will you prevent the team from moving to New Jersey?
Because New Jersey is showing them love right now.
Well, let me just say to you, New Jersey has a right to say and do anything that it chooses. I am going to stay laser focused. I've been here for 7 months, and I heard from one person that the Sixers have been talking about moving for 4 years. Someone else told me it's 2 years. I would argue to you that I have gotten further in 7 months than any previous negotiations in 2 years or seven, and I'm really proud of that. But there's no one who's going to make me abandon my process of doing my homework. I didn't get here by being sloppy, Philadelphia. When I make that decision of such economic importance to the city, you are going to know that your mayor and my team, that I've done my homework.
Well, we have to leave it there. Mm-hmm. We wish we didn't, because we'd love to talk to you for an hour
and
more.
And we hope we can invite we invite
can
you back.
Can I come back? Yeah. Okay, absolutely. All right.
That was Mayor Sherelle Parker. Thank you so much for your time today, Mayor.
Thank you.
And that wraps up our show. It's produced by Debbie Builder, Andreas Copes, John Ahrens. Al Banks engineered today's show. Kevin McCrory is the executive producer. Joan Isabella is the general manager of audio. I'm Cherry Gregg from Studio 2 at WHYY in Philly.
I'm Avi Wolfman Aaron. We are not live next week, by the way, but we do have some best of interviews to share with you, and we'll talk to you the week after.
Stop. Before you consider taking drastic measures to lose weight, like GLP-1 injections, consider Golo. Golo's release is easier than injections and fad diets. No need to jump through insurance hoops. It's simple. You take one release supplement with each meal. Golo's release supplement contains 7 natural plants and 3 key minerals that target body fat and combat the stress of dieting. With Golo, you follow the Golo for Life plan, where you'll safely and effectively control sugar cravings and hunger while minimizing muscle loss, allowing you to feel good and inspired to reach your goal weight. With Golo, you get an effective and affordable weight loss solution that's clinically proven. Because controlling glucose, maintaining healthy insulin levels, and saying goodbye to starvation dieting is the secret to lasting weight loss and wellness. Visit Golo.com to get started today. That's Golo.com. Go to Golo.com to join the 5 million people who have switched to Golo as a better way to lose weight. Visit Golo.com today.